better
since I laid my burdens
since
down.
I laid my burdens down. I'm feeling better, so much better. Take them with me, 'cause I laid them at the cross on the ground. How many of you laid them down? How many of you don't want to pick them back up? Well, glory, glory. You can beat that hand clap by a big margin. Let's give him one more. Really, really good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glad to have you in the house of God today. We're going to look at our prayer request. If you'd like to be seated for just a few minutes, Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready to come this morning, take us to the Lord in prayer. Sister Janet Barron wants to offer this testimony. Yesterday afternoon, as she was going into the house to get ready to come to the service, vertigo struck her. She couldn't see, had to shut her eyes. She began to pray, got on into the house, and about 15 minutes, the Lord removed it. She was able to drive to the house of the Lord last night. She just wants to say, thank you, Lord. We praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Sister Sherry Hayton says to please pray for my mom, Janice Counts. She is in the hospital in the intensive care unit, so we want to remember her as we pray today. Please pray for traveling mercies for me and Isaac as we will travel to Honduras to visit my parents tomorrow, which would be on Monday. Thank you and God bless. Sister Phoebe Torres sends that in, so we will remember them for traveling mercies. Continue to pray for the Moyer family in legal matters that they are involved in. Let's commit that unto the Lord. Sister Brenda Harmon turns in a prayer request for a Patty Matthews who was involved in a head-on collision. The Lord protected her life, only got some soreness and some bruises, so they want to praise God for his hand of protection. Sister Janet Payne says to please remember my nephew, Doran Murphy, in Oklahoma. He's taking his first car ride tomorrow since the tragic accident 7 months ago. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray today. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs today, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Could we stand? Certainly appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley. Brother Daniel, God bless you, buddy.
Amen. Good to be in church this morning. Amen. I was reading in the paper this morning. I thought I'd write down just a little note talking about the forest fire that they are having out in California. And it's talking about Redding, California. It's a city of 92,000 people, and it's about 250 miles north of San Francisco. And this is the fire chief. He said, the fire in California was so strong they ripped trees off the ground and threw them across the street into homes. You know what that is? That's God's judgment. Amen. California, you remember the prophet said that she was going under Los Angeles because of the sins. And you know, God don't forget nothing. We might forget, but he don't. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, once again, we just want to praise you for everything you've done for us. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Thanking you, God, for giving us strength, keeping us from day to day. Thank you for the service that we was in last night. God, we know that we fight those foxes of discouragement all the time. But Lord, we know that you said, he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And God, we claim those promises, knowing, God, that you'll never let us down, Lord Jesus. God, that you are a healer, a deliverer, a savior today. God, we just commit everything into your hands. God, we bring these needs before your throne. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move for each one of them. God, I pray that you'll heal those that are sick. Save those that are lost. God, bring deliverance unto those that need salvation. God, we pray now that you'll bless Brother Donnie, our pastor. God, just anoint him in a special way. Help us to receive those things that he brings forth to us today, Lord Jesus. God, bless the musicians. Bless those over the internet. Just have your way completely, God. We'll be careful to give you the praise in the lovely name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Brethren, see if you can find that song. I believe you've done already got it. Your cries have awoken the master. Let's sing. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise. Because you prayed all night and you held on with all of your might, oh, your cries have awoken the master.
with Jesus. The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing.
Yes, Lord.
And he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we
perish? Oh, yes.
We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called
him. Thank you, Father.
Said to them, where is your faith?
Oh, because you prayed all night.
Because you
held on with all of your might. Yes, your cries
have awoken the Master.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, He knows your voice. Lift your hands. It's time to rejoice. All your cries have awoken the Master. Praise. Let's sing this. We got a couple of songs this morning. Sister Tamika and Brother Caleb, if they'll come on the platform, be getting ready to sing for us. Don't matter who goes first, just come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing. Let's sing this little song together while they're getting ready this morning. What about your God? Is He awesome? What about your God? Is He awesome? What about your God? Is He awesome? Give Him one more hand clap of praise this morning. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. Oh, He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. You can be seated. Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for you at this time. Praise the Lord.
satisfy my soul, and I stand amazed at the blessings I've known, and still till this day, the mercy make it clear to see that you love me. You give each breath that I breathe. You cover the skies with beauty.
Know this song, you can help me, please.
Oh,
count the million times people asking me how I can praise you with all that I've gone through. The question just amazes me. Can circumstances possibly change who I forever am in you? Maybe since my life was changed, long before these rainy days, it's never, ever crossed my mind to turn my back on you, oh Lord, my only shelter from the storm. But instead, I draw closer through these times. So I pray, bring me joy, bring me peace, bring a chance to be free. Bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings me pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring the rain. I am yours regardless of the dark clouds that loom above, because you are greater than my pain. You made a way for me, suffering your destiny. So tell me, what's a little rain? So I pray, bring me joy, bring me peace, bring a chance to be free. Bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings you pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring the rain. Is the Lord God Almighty? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord God Almighty? Is the Lord God Almighty? Sing it with me. Everybody sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, blessed God. Hallelujah to your name, Lord Jesus. There is none like you, Lord. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, we love you today. We thank you for being such a mighty God. Lord Jesus, thank you for being so mighty that you were able to condescend to us poor human beings in such low estate. God, that you became one of us. We love you so much, Father. We see your majesty in the stars. We see your majesty in the universe. We see your majesty in the creation. But yet, Lord, we can see it personified so great when you became a man. In order to take the feelings of our infirmities, our troubles, our heartaches upon yourself. We love you so much. Thank you for your awesome presence that you're with us today, Lord. May you take your precious word and speak to us, Father. Lord, you see these prayer calls I have in my hands. I ask you, dear God, you'd minister to the needs, dear God. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be living in the presence of the resurrected Savior. Hallelujah. Be with us today, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love being in his presence, don't you? Nothing like the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Trust you all are happy to be in the house of the Lord today. We come expecting today our Lord to meet with us and speak to us. And we believe that he's mindful of all of our needs and our desires today. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He took great indignation and mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Ridicule, ridicule, ridicule." That's a good sign. The devil's afraid of what you're doing. That's one reason there has never been a message and a prophet of God that has been so ridiculed, so laughed at, so made fun of, even decades after his death, like this message. Why? Still a threat. People's afraid of it. And the success that God used through it, Satan can't stand it. So chill out, devil. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Now, again, the ridicule. Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. Those of you that are Bible readers and you know your Bible well, you know that this is coming to the post-exilic stage of the children of Israel. Whenever God is sending them back by the decree of the kings, as he moves on Nebuchadnezzar, upon Cyrus, that God is going to have the temple rebuilt, the wall rebuilt, temple worship. Eventually, the nation will gain its status back. It's a very, very difficult time. For the most part, the princes, the rich folk of the Jews, they chose to stay in this land of Babylon. They chose to stay in the land of Persia. It was the poor, feeble Jews, actually, who decided to leave that land and come back to the land that God had given them as an inheritance. The year is 458 B.C., whenever Ezra is given permission by the king to be able to come back. It is a very bleak outlook as far as what it looks like that can be done. The walls are laying in just piles of rubbish. The gates made out of wood have been destroyed. It looks like that there's no use whatsoever in even trying to revive such a place. 14 years after he comes into the land, then there is another man by the name of Nehemiah. In Hebrew, we call him Nehemiah. That he is sent in the year 444 B.C. He comes with a little bit different motive and objective. Of course, it's to bring all of it together. But Ezra comes as a priest. So he's going to come with the law, with the spiritual aspect of it. Nehemiah also with the spiritual aspect. But he's going to be a governor. He's going to be one that will set along and set aside in the political aspect, a ruler which God would be able to use to bring the children of Israel to their position. And where they are in this time frame, they actually need both. They need Ezra and they need Nehemiah. Ezra is going to be the spiritual one that will come and read the law, be able to interpret the law. They'll stand, they'll make a pulpit, they'll come and bring a revival by the revealing of the word. Nehemiah will come and he will be the one politically that will stand for the people and the rights to encourage them to stand for what God has given them. You know, it's the same I've found myself in many times with people trying to find a restoration with God in their life. That you'll need the legal aspect of that restoration. And you'll also need the grace aspect. If you walk only on the legal side, you'll become so legalistic you'll never be able to be fully restored because you'll fall short of the legal guidelines that you set in your mind. So you say, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to be that, and I've got to be that, and I've got to be that. And most people will set them so high that they're not attainable. Now, that's a good side for Nehemiah. You need Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the type of man that whenever he saw some of the Jews that were married to the Ashdodites and some of the heathens, he went in and pulled the hair off their heads and pulled the beard out of their face. His name wasn't Donnie. You think I'm rough? I'm a Cub Scout compared to Nehemiah. But you know what? You need Nehemiah, but you also need Ezra in your life. You need both law and grace. Law will kill you. That's right. But grace will come in and help you when you're so far down that you don't know what to do. So it takes the counterbalancing of Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, they have a lot against them. And everything that is against them is because of the sins of their forefathers. Their forefathers was the very cause of them going down to the land of Babylon to begin with. It was because of their sins and their rebellion, the hard-headedness, the hard-heartedness, that they turned away from the program of God. And God knew, of course, that it must bring this in order to bring them to a place and state of humility. After 70 years, God begins to bring forth a restoration of a revival. Now, God is doing this in stages. It's not going to happen right now. It's not going to happen overnight, in a month, in a week, or even a year. It's going to take a long time. Remember, the circumference of the city of Jerusalem historically was from 1.5 to 2.5 miles around the entire city. All the wall is totally broken down. The gates were totally burned up. Now, remember, this land is not a land of great trees. It is still to this day not a land of great trees. So they got their trees from Lebanon and from other countries which would have large trees to make boards to make the gates. So they had to import a lot of the stuff that they built the wall and the city out of. The walls are primarily limestone. Limestone has a great ability to withstand weather, to withstand all types of things that's on the outside. But one thing that limestone cannot withstand, and that is burning fire. It actually
it works on the chemical makeup of limestone and causes the limestone to the molecular structure of the limestone to weaken. Then it would become almost like sandstone to where that it would crumble. Or crumble and actually just fall apart. So you could take it in your hands, rub it together, and it would just fall apart. So it looked like all of the material that they had to work with was so feeble. You look at the people that are there. They are feeble. They are poor. It's not the wealthy. The rich Jews are still back there making money. Now, may I say to you today, the 144,000, for the most part, that will be restored in the last day, for the most part, it will not be the Wall Street Jews. It will not be the Jews that live in New York and have all of their businesses and this and that. They're New York Jews and they always will be. But it will be the elect Jews that are willing to go back to the land of Israel in order to get their inheritance. That's right. A lot of the Jews are not a bit more elected than the Gentiles are. Well, praise God. People saying just because they're Jews are going in, that's a bunch of baloney. The only ones going into the Jews in the last days are those that are elected by God. That's right. Now, it was the elect of God that God is actually moving on now. But it would seem to be the lesser qualified of the Jewish race. You'd think the richer ones, the people that was in authority, and those that had great power. What was Nehemiah? Nehemiah was not a governor. Nehemiah was not a ruler. Nehemiah was not a prince. Nehemiah was a cup bearer. Nehemiah was no more than an exalted slave in the house of the king. But yet there were men of principle was standing. There was men of great political power. And there was Jews, oh my, dispersed throughout all the kingdom. And what did they do? They wanted to maintain their political clout. They wanted to maintain their income and their riches. But the elect of God were willing to go back to this rubble and say, God is able to restore us back to our position. I believe God's got some elect Gentiles that are the same way. That they're willing to lay aside whatever necessary in order to come back to what the world would call a pile of rubble and a pile of rubbish, and there's no way for it to be restored. But we look beyond the rubbish, we look beyond the rubble, and we look to the promise of God that He said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Now, we're going to be dealing again today, Lord willing, with this little fox of discouragement. This little guy's grown up now, and he's got a little wits about him. He's understood enough about humanity since he's been dealing with humanity for over 6,000 years. He understands how humans think. He understands their makeup, their goals, their objectives, even though the diversity of human beings is millions strong, but yet he knows there is a repetitive part about human behavior. He knows that an uncle might be a certain way, and it might skip his son, and it might come to a nephew. He knows that a father may be a certain way. It may come to his son, or it may come to his grandson. But he sees that whatever he was able to cause in the beginning of the fall, that you keep following that same pattern, and it repeats itself over and over and over again. Now, you take an individual that becomes sexually abused when they are young. Without the Spirit of God to break that cycle, they will either go one of two ways. They will continue to abuse themselves, or when they get married, they will absolutely have a terrible, terrible marriage because of that sexual abuse, which still works on them psychologically. So if it's a woman, she won't even want her husband to touch her. If it's a man, he'll go absolutely stark, raving mad, women on his mind constantly, and Satan has done this pattern over and over and over again until you go to dealing with the new birth. Then when you deal with the new birth, it puts it in a different cycle. It doesn't necessarily break the psyche, which is the psychological part of us, and the scars that are there. But it does enhance us and give us the power to be able to overcome it by the grace of God. But yet Satan has found now that dealing with the Jews in this era of time. Now the time frame when Nehemiah begins, as I said, is 444 B.C. So Ezra and them have been there now for about 14 years, and yet the wall itself is still in absolute chaos. So whenever you come up around the walls of Jerusalem, they are laying there these great big gigantic stones that were hewn out, a limestone that it would took hundreds and hundreds of men to make. And yet these guys are not wall builders. They're not masonry men. They're not men who understand mortar. They are the poor. They would have no doubt been the working class of the children of Israel who know what they've done. They might have had a little booth there in Babylon. They might have moved over into one city into another. They might have sold some things on the side. Maybe one of them sold tea, another one sold goats, another one sold chickens, another one sold this and that and the other. But they were not construction men. They were not men who understand how to go back and rebuild. So you can see the things that Tobiah and Sanballat are going to use against them were things that was already subconsciously there to try to subvert their own vision. You see, Satan, he finds out the way we are. He listens to what we say. He watches our behavior. And then he goes to adding on and exemplify what he hears us already say. Well, I fear this and I'm afraid of that and I'm not sure that I can do it. Then he will beef up his battle against you in the very way that he's just heard you confess and say. Now, if you say, I'm not a very good Christian, I'm not a very good believer, I'm not sure that I can do it, I'm not sure this, that, the other, he will absolutely take your own confession and use that confession against you. So he will build up his armament around you. Now, what's the very things that these men are going to say? No doubt lay deep in the subconscious of these people which were there. They knew that they were not capable of being able to do this by themselves. But those who were there at least had enough faith in the promise of God to believe they had a supernatural resource that was beyond their natural ability. I believe we've got the same thing. Now watch this again, chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth. Now notice what it was that brought his wrath. It was the restoration of the promise of God. It wasn't that they had failed. You see, it is not those who fail that cause the devil so much trouble. It is not ministries that fail. It is not churches that fail, that shake hell. It is ministries that succeed. It is Christians that succeed. It is people who live the word, walk the word, do the word. That's what makes the devil mad. Amen. Notice now, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now notice the way that this wrath and this indignation is giving vent. It is giving vent into mockery of the very work of God, which they consider to be a threat to themselves. Now, if it was no threat to themselves, why are they going to trouble themselves with it? If it's going to fail, if they believe that the Jews were unable to do this, well, why not leave them alone and let them make a mess out of themselves and make fools out of themselves? And that way, they'll bring more reproach. Oh, but you see, within themselves, they were afraid this might work. They were afraid this might be a success. I hope somebody's listening to me this morning. You see, that devil that talks to you and tells you, you can't make it, you won't make it, you'll never overcome, that ought to give you another burst of energy inside of you to let you know that lying devil that is telling you that is afraid you're going to do it. Praise God. If he knew you were headed down the road of failure, he would encourage you, go ahead and do it, Dale. Go ahead. Because he knows he's encouraging you to fail. But if he looks at you and considers what you are doing has the potential of being a success, he's going to do everything in his power not to encourage you to do it so you'll fall, but so you will stop. But let me go ahead and tell him right now, we're up on the wall, we're doing a good work, and we ain't coming down. Amen. Now, notice he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Now watch how he comes with this indignation now. But to criticize and to humiliate. Now is what he's saying true? Yes. There is an element of truth to this, because these are probably some of the most feeble Jews that could have ever been sent from this kingdom. They was not the rich. They were not the great. They were not the elite of Israel. They were not the ones that was the most important. But there was a missing element that they were not able to see. They were the ones who had a burden and a vision for the word of the Lord. Them people are dangerous. I said, them people are dangerous. You take a rich person, they may have all kinds of money, all kinds of this and that and the other. That person is not necessarily dangerous because they have money. They're not dangerous because they're worth something. They're not dangerous because they have a big name among the people if they don't have no burden for the word of the Lord. But you take a pauper that nobody knows them. Oh, glory to God. You take somebody that nobody hardly even knows who they are, but they've got a zeal to do something for the kingdom of God. Hell shakes in its boots. Praise be to God. Why? Because that person knows they can't do it anyhow. They knows if there's anything accomplished, it'll have to be God. That's right. He spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Now watch what he's doing. He's getting in front of everybody. Like we'd say today, getting on television, you know, or getting on YouTube or making a website and getting up in front of everybody and saying all these things to ridicule and make fun of. I said it before, I'll say it again. For those who have left this message and claim that Brother Branham is a false prophet, I will go to any insane institution with you and let them give me the worst one and give you the second worst. And let us prove your power instead of your mouth. Meet me anytime you'd like. My God still performs signs, wonders, and miracles. My God is not just a God of the mouth. My God is a God of power. I made the invitation. It's still open today. Praise the Lord. Come on now. Put your power where your mouth is, or shut your blabber mouth. But you see, it's easy. We've got Sanballats. We've got Tobias. We've got all of them. But for the most part, we don't pay a lot of attention to them. Now, will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones, the revelations that have been lost down through the ages, that have been lost in the heaps of rubbish of Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Church of Christ? Will they revive those revelations and build a tabernacle of the living God by revelation instead of denomination? So in general, the enemies of God's work try to ridicule, make fun of, and laugh at God's workers. Now notice they're not standing down there pointing up the finger. God, I'll tell you one thing, God, you can't do nothing. God, you can't do this and other. God, you ain't got no power. But they're standing at God's workers. You're feeble, you're this, or you're no good. But when you make fun of God's workers, believe it or not, you're making fun of God. He takes it very personal. So they're wanting to try now to discredit them. So they despise the workmen. They ridicule the workmen. They ridicule the material they use. What's it all for? To discourage them. And every morning, you imagine every day you got up and you went to the portion, your portion of the wall that you were assigned to build. You have to climb over garbage. You have to climb over trash. You have to climb over all these heaps of rubbish to get to where you are. You lay one stone during the day or two or whatever more, and the heaps of rubbish is way up here, but your work is way down here. You labored, you sweated for a week, a two, three, four, and you're barely that high. then if you're not careful, you go to listen to the lies of this little fox. Shakespeare called ridicule paper bullets of the brain. Those bullets have slain many a soldier. Now come on, don't sit there and look at me like they don't bother you. It's not abnormal for the enemy to insult the servants of God. Remember, there was a little boy that ran down through the valley. Oh, I can still see it as I stood there 2 months ago. Standing right off of a road where just a paved road is. And their little branch right down through the middle of it. Right up on this side was the Philistine army. Over on this side was the army of Israel. Down in the middle was a soldier. Glory! What did Goliath do? Ridiculed, made fun of, criticized. You send this little runt down here to me? This little guy that can't even do nothing? You send him down here to me? You imagine David saying, runt, call me a runt. I resent that. Praise the Lord. So he ridicules him, makes fun of him. You know what, friends? We can pretty well figure we are going to be laughed at. We are going to be one of the most ridiculed groups of people that are left on the face of the earth. There's no telling what we're going to go through before this end time actually comes. It was the same with the Lord Jesus. They mocked him, the soldiers did. The rabble mocked him when he was on the cross. Paul was made fun of. Hebrews 11 talks about those that were mocked and ridiculed. Praise God. When the enemy laughs at God's people, it's a good sign. God's fixing to move. So Sanballat and his friends begin to ridicule, make fun of, criticize the workers, their means, their promise, and their God. So he ridicules them by calling them feeble. Now the word feeble means withered and miserable. They were like cut flowers. So you cut the flowers, day one they might look normal. By day two they start withering up a little bit. So he said, you bunch of Jews, you're no more than a bunch of cut flowers from Babylon. Within a few weeks, you'll be withered up and dried and blow away. Well, if that's true, why are you wasting all this energy to tell me that? Why don't you just leave me alone and let me dry up and blow away unless you consider me to be a threat? Praise be to God. The enemy could see they didn't have great strength. The enemy could see they didn't have great ability. But the enemy could not see their hidden resource of faith. You see, they do not understand what a real true believer does about the promise of God. Now, Paul says the same thing, of course, in 2 Corinthians, that whenever we are weak, then we are strong. Now that makes no sense to the world because the world looks at it and says, no, that can't be right. We've got to be stronger and stronger and stronger. But that's the exact opposite the way God and His people look at it, because we look at our weakness and go that God will take that weakness, the very thing we despise, and be able to accomplish the deed with it. And we're thinking, no, Lord, don't use that. Use my strengths. Lord, I'm this, I'm that. Oh, God, God said, no, I don't want that. You'll take pride in that. So what I'll do is I'll take your weakness, the thing you don't like, that's the thing I'll take and do the job with. Well, praise the Lord. So Sanballat, he taunts these people. Will they fortify themselves? So now here's heaps of rubbish piled up all around, 1.5 to 2.5 miles around the circumference of the city, because the Babylonians brought her to the ground. So there's stones laying there. I've seen some of them just when we was in Israel, of the town, the ones that they had built, 30 something feet long, one stone. One stone, five times bigger than the stones that make the Great Pyramid. 30-something feet long. They wouldn't just old rough-hewn things. Each one of them had a beveled edge. A beveled edge, like something like this Roman ogee. Something like this that was cut on a 35-foot piece of solid limestone. Cut on the top, down the side, on the bottom, and up on the side. And they were stacked one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. But what if all those was laying down on the ground? And you're this crazy preacher called Nehemiah Donnie. Says, we can rebuild this wall. And they're sitting there looking at Nehemiah the way y'all are looking at me. This guy's crazy. We have no cranes. We have no atomic power. We have no hydraulic engines. We have no diesel motors. How does he think we are ever going to get those stones out of that rubbish back up on top? So what would you rather I preach? Oh God, children, we can't make it. The more I think about it, the more discouraged I get. I believe we just probably need to compromise and go the way of the rest of the churches. Let's just forget holiness. Let's forget about the message. Let's forget about all these things and maybe God will have mercy on us at the end. I'm sorry, you voted for the wrong guy. If you want that message. Awesome. I still say we can build these stones. I say for the most part, they're already up. We're just lacking one. That's the capstone. Woo! Hallelujah! It's not like we've got to start down at the foundation. We're already up to the seventh cap, right up to the very final life stage. So what will these feeble Jews do? Will they fortify themselves? Now he says this in front of an army. Now they have no army, of course. Israel has no army. So he starts to walk in front of them, kind of like Goliath. Let the man that'll come and fight me, and whoever wins will be your slaves. Uh-oh, some guy said, who is that? His brother said, now calm down, calm down. You little holy roller, you get so excited and all tore up. This is beyond your understanding. He screamed out against it. Who was that? You imagine him walking up to the edge and said, that uncircumcised Philistine. He goes before Saul and said, I'll tell you what, I'll go down and fight him. He says, that's the best joke I've heard all week long. I'm not joking, sir. I said, I'll fight him. Not only will I fight him, I'll kill him. Well, Saul said, well, I admire your courage, son. I bring the boy a sword. I send 5 years to Bob Jones, and let's send him then over to some message cemetery somewhere. And let's educate the boys that I ain't proved none of that stuff. But let me take what I know God can use. Let me take my swing. Let me take my faith. Let me take my integrity. Let me take my faithfulness. Let me take my love, and I'll meet that giant. And he's kind of a cute little boy anyway, you know. Ruddy, reddish colored hair. Praise God. Going down through that brook, said, praise be to God. His brother saying, Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed be the fruit of thy bye, David. The boys don't tell me bye. I'll be back shortly. We'll tell Daddy you died a gallant fool. We'll tell Daddy we tried to stop you, but as usual, you wouldn't listen. Don't tell me bye. I'll be back with a head the size of a wash tub in a few minutes. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then I'll let you cowards see how big them eyeballs really are. Praise be to God. So, Do we let the ridicule stop us? Do we let people hating us stop us? For the most part, we ignore it, keep right on going, knowing that God don't lie. Now, will they build a city and have an army? All these professional fighters standing there. Nehemiah said, come on, big boy. I get my hand on this sword. I'll slice your tongue 4 ways from Sunday. So what are y'all going to do? End all of this in one day? Y'all are a supernatural believing people, aren't you? You believe your God's going to come on the scene and stop all this in one day. You call me what you want. You make fun of me all you want. You go to touch of my anointing and touch of my God, you've got something else in your hands, friends. That goes not only for laity, but that goes for preachers. Right. What's this? Oh, you're gonna start praying, are you? You're gonna start worshiping? Oh boy, this is gonna be something these feeble Jews. Now, friends, they would have never said this inspired by the devil unless there was not an inroad to affect the thinking of the workers. Now, Satan is not a discerner of our hearts, we know that. But he listens. He hears. He hears our prayers. He hears our confessions. You imagine when they were saying this, Brother Jim, they were anointed of the devil. It was so precise that some of these people actually trembled, thinking, oh my God, I thought that very thing this morning. I thought that, of course, he's going to use what works. Praise God. Amen. Oh, it won't be long. Y'all will quit. The work is too big. There's too many stones. There's too much rubble. There's way too much stuff to deal with. What is all this rubble? The reproach around the falling Jerusalem. So what is the rubbish? The reproach of their message. Now God said, I'll place my name here forever, which is a blot of time. God said, I will love Solomon forever. Jedediah was his name. He will be my son forever. I will do this. I will bless Jerusalem forever and ever. Look at this thing on. It's the space of time. So the rubbish is failure of the people of God. Don't you understand why folks try to find all the stuff they can around the message? Folks that hate me and hate you and hate this church, they don't want to know the good things that happen from Happy Valley. They want to know who ain't doing right. They want to know who ain't living right. They want to know who ain't doing this and that and the other. And that's what they will promote and talk about. Come on, saints. What are they doing? They're looking for the rubbish around the walls of Jerusalem. And we have to deal with it ourselves. Didn't so-and-so used to go to Happy Valley? Oh my goodness, you've heard what they're doing now. Oh, I heard this man run off of this man's wife, and I heard this man run off of another man. They used to go to Happy Valley, didn't they? Oh my! That has nothing to do with us. Judas was a devil. That had nothing to do with Jesus. Praise be to God. Well, so-and-so was around Brother Branham. That had nothing to do with Brother Branham. It is the rubbish that is around our work, and it is something we will have to deal with until we are changed. Rubbish can be very discouraging. Now, they've got mixed in these accusations, some truths, some half-truths, and some outright lies. They said the stones were burned. That's a lie. According to the book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, The gates were burned and the stones were toppled. So now they're trying to slide in a fabrication to weaken the confidence of their material. Don't you understand what all these websites and this stuff on YouTube is all about? It's to weaken your confidence in your material to be used for a rapture. Oh, Brother Donnie, since we left the message, we found out this tremendous thing. Brother Branham was a man. You should have come here. I preached that years ago. Don't bother us, said Brother Branham was a man. Oh, I got laughed at and ridiculed and made fun of years ago when I preached it. I'm sure glad I followed the leading of the Lord then, ain't you? Oh, my goodness, Brother Branham was a man. Oh, so what? All of us are human beings. That don't have nothing to do with the word of the Lord. So y'all are weak, you're poor, you're feeble. Even the building blocks, the material that you all listen to. Here he'll tell about that little black girl down in Arkansas getting healed, and he tells it this way. Over here he tells it this way. Over here he tells it this way. And you sit there and smile like you got good sense and say, so? What are they trying to do? Weaken your confidence in your building material. Too late, devil. You're weak. You're poor. Your material is so frail. You see, this opposition was very strong. No doubt it worked in their minds psychologically to where that they really had to battle it in their minds and raise up questions, because the enemy's words can penetrate so deep. That cannot go where God's words can, but it can penetrate so deep into your memory. It can go into your spirit. It can go into your reasoning. And before long, it begins to make perfect sense. Except to a believer. Now notice verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, the fox of discouragement, of course, he shall even break down their stone wall. Notice Nehemiah, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from them before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Now when we first opened up chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it was Sanballat and Tobiah that was mad. Now we got God mad. I'd rather deal with 385,974,332 mad Sanballats than one mad God. So listen what they done. So we decided that we would stay home and we would not go back to church again because there was too many hypocrites. We decided we would go to Walmart and buy everybody a pair of shorts, and we would buy makeup, and we'd buy a little beer as well, and we'd just live the life of Raleigh. So built we the wall. Criticism never slowed them down. Ridicule never slowed them down. Being made fun of never slowed them down. They kept right on building the wall. Their own fears never slowed them down. The failures of their fathers never slowed them down. Their own questions in their minds never slowed them down. So built we the wall. Now you see, this is not an arrogant leader. An arrogant leader lets the people do all the work and he takes all the credit. God will never use any man that all of his whole ministry is about himself. I and me and me and mine and I and I and I and I. Forget it. Well, praise the Lord. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof for the people. Had a mind toward, don't you understand, Happy Valley? It's not how burdened I am. It's not how strong you may think I am. I'm not what makes this church. If the people don't have a mind to come to church, if the people don't have a mind to read their Bible, if the people don't have a mind to pray, our church will never fly. This is not Donnie Reagan's church. It's the church of the living God. And each of one of you have a responsibility for the people. Had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and the Church of Godites and the Nazarenites and the former Messagites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches, oh glory to God. So there had to be a binding up of the breach before you go into the seals. Amen, amen, amen. That the breaches began to be stopped. They, oh my, then they were very wroth. Now they're not just mad, they're very mad. Why? Success breeds opposition. Opposition is almost always caused by success, not failure. Had they been failing, had they been, they're just 2 days away from annihilation, they would have hunkered down and watched them destroy themselves. But now that they're succeeding, now that their message is going around the world, and the people following it are realizing there's more to this message than just God sent a prophet. They're realizing God sent a prophet with a message to get them ready for the rapture. Oh my, we should be encouraged when we see the opposition that has raised up in the last couple of years against this message. It ought to, it's sad for those that leave, sure, but it ought to encourage us to know the work is almost finished. Oh, praise be to God. Why didn't this opposition raise up 30 years ago? Because the wall wasn't where it is today. Oh, glory to God. The breaches were not made up like they are today. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 8. And conspired all of them together. Oh my goodness. So look now what this does. With the rebuilding of the walls. Take this as a bride. Take this as a bride time, bride light. Take this also as God finishing up the consummation of the ages. Take it also as you as an individual. That when the devil sees the breaches being blocked up in your life, what is a breach? A section of the wall that is still open. So there was a sign. You and your family, you take this portion of the wall. You and your family, you take that portion. You and your family take that portion. But there's little portions of the wall because there was more wall than there was people. So there was breaches, Brother Terry, that were still left in the wall. So when they heard the wall was being built and the breaches were actually being stopped, they all joined together in ecumenical council. Now they're going to try to usher in the mark of the beast. If you don't play tapes, you're not a real pastor. You ought to heard that message I heard from headquarters the other day of the big bishop standing up telling the people. Every true minister should only have one thing he points people to, and that's Brother Branham. That is a lie. Brother Branham never pointed us to himself. He pointed us to Jesus Christ. Brother Branham is not the way, the truth, and the life. Brother Branham is not the resurrection. Only the Lord Jesus is the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah! What is that stuff? The rubbish around our walls. The rubble around our walls. And what are we going to do? Keep on building. It's amazing. They were inspired to build and they were conspired to fight. So you're either going to be inspired or conspired. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. When them devils come against us as a church, when they come against us as a move, when they come against you as an individual, don't stop praying. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop coming to church. Keep right on. But Brother Donnie, I come and I don't feel nothing. So do I. Do you mean you come to church, Brother Donnie, and you preach? Do you think every time I get up here, I feel it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet? Well, let me bust your balloon. I don't. I am an anointed servant of God. That has nothing to do with feeling. I preach with all my energy, with all of my might, with all of my strength, many services without feeling one thing. Oh, some of y'all are in comatose state, ain't you? Oh, you thought, I thought every time you got up, that's what you get for thinking. I am a priest. I'm called to worship. I am a priest. I'm called to give sacrifice of praise, whether I feel it or whether I don't. We made our prayer unto our God. But don't you listen what else they did. And set a watch. Now this is literally watching and praying. There was a statement that was made very famous in World War II. And it was this: praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Amen. Let me tell you something, friends. Sometimes praying ain't enough. Sometimes you got to pray and watch. It's good to pray. Yes, sir, we ought to pray. We don't do it enough. But sometimes you got to pray with one eye open. I've been at times I felt like I was more saved with praying with both of them open. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them. Now they're not just sitting back waiting for the enemy. Now they're in attack mode. We set a watch against them day and night because we were mean and hateful and contrary. We done it because of them. You say, why do you attack all this stuff? I attack because of them, not because of me. There is a great difference. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish so that we are not able. Now this is praise, Judah. When your praise turns into this, you're in a mess. we are not able to build a wall. Now watch the corresponding verse now. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Somebody must have heard what Judah said. And what did it do? It encouraged their enemies. My Lord, help us. So instead of us getting encouragement, Brother John, our negative testimony gives encouragement to the devil. Can you imagine demons just sitting around? What's the matter? I'm so depressed. What's your problem, buddy? I've been fighting against that Harry Reagan all these years. Man, alive, that Rob Weber. I thought I had that old boy, and he was tied up in the denominational system, and somebody gave him a book and a tape and began to witness to him. Now I look at him and his family. Lord, have mercy. I get him down. I get him so worried. I don't know what to do out there. It's just sad. It's okay, buddy. I understand. I'm assigned to the pastor. I understand. I take the whooping every day. Man alive, I understand your plight. And then Rob says, I don't know if I can make it any farther. And that demon said, oh, happy day, happy day. My depression is going away because Rob thinks he's not able to make it all the way. So our words, instead of encouraging us, encourage our enemy. So here is the praise tribe of all of Israel. And they're saying, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Our prayer workers are just about gone. We ain't got people no more that can pray and really have the burden of the church. We're just about gone. And there's much rubbish. Rubbish on my Facebook. And rubbish on two Facebook and three Facebook. And I couldn't keep from smiling this week when I read how many $1 billion he lost this week. I thought, I wish the whole thing would explode and go bankrupt. You'd be surprised the adulteries that have happened because of Facebook. You'd be surprised the church splits has happened because of Facebook. You'd be surprised in the message right now, things that are ongoing, church troubles that people are getting on Facebook and stirring stuff up. You'd be surprised at old school, high school sweethearts that have reunited again because of Facebook and wound up divorcing their wife or divorcing their husband and leaving their children. You want to know why I preach against that thing? So when you got praise saying, we be not able, O Lord our God, we are so sad, we know we've done been had. Oh God, there's no way out, it's so sad we can't shout. And the enemy's saying, oh listen, that's the songs they're singing. That's the songs they're singing in church. They're lower than I thought they were. And our adversary said, in response to what Judah said. If you look at yourself really good and dissect yourself 12 ways, you'll find out there's traits of each one of these tribes in you. Asher's a good one. Dan's a great one. He's like a serpent. You know, Naphtali, like a calf and all these other things. But my brother, sister, you can have all 11 and get away from this one and you're a sunk ship. You need Judah in your life. I said you need Judah in your life. Notice verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. And this is why. Remember the Lord. Amen. Not you, not me, not how great we are. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters.
daughters, your wives,
and your houses. Isn't that amazing? He didn't tell them to remember the Lord and the Lord would fight. But he told them to remember the Lord and they'll fight. Praise be to God. Notice, can I have a little bit more of your time? And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that God had opened the seven seals and took the cloak off the white horse rider, and we knew who he was. God had brought their counsel to naught. Then we returned, all of us, to the wall. When our enemies heard we wasn't going to give up, we just decided we ain't going fishing, we're going wall building. We returned, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. Verse 17. They which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laid it, which means carrying them, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand. So you got a guy, if he's left-handed, he's holding a sword in his left hand, he learns how to lay mortar with his right. Or he helps his brother over there pick up another stone. Now you see what this does? That makes where both of us are not independent now. Before, you might lift up that 130-pound stone. You can't do it no more. You need your brother to help you. God knows exactly what he's doing. So now, instead of you taking both hands to lift up yourself, you and Brother J.D., you and Brother Skipper, you and Sister So-and-so, she's on one end, you're on the other, and you've got a sword. Both of you've got a sword, and you're an army of God. You're a people of God. You're building the wall of God for the promise of God. To what the devil tried to do by discouragement, God turned it right around and encouraged them. And they fell in love with God, fell in love with each other. Boy, wouldn't that be something. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side. And so built it. He that sounded the trumpet was by me. So here's the watchman, Nehemiah. And the man who blows the trumpet is standing by him. Amen. Praise God. And when this man blows the trumpet, all around the circumference of the walls, they begin to respond. They lay down mortar, they lay down straw, they lay down rock, and they take sword in both hands. At what? The sound of the messenger. Chapter 6, verse 1. Can I go on a bit? This is more important than eating your dinner. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, and there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors of the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem said unto me, saying, come, let us meet together. We've got a few questions we'd like to ask. Let us interview you. Come and let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. You stole my thunder, man. Now you don't know what Nehemiah's response was to that. Oh no. Oh no, I ain't meeting you at Ono. Oh, I'll tell you what, I about had a spell downstairs this morning. I run across that. I thought, yes, Lord, let us answer that devil in one way. You're going to be defeated. Oh no, I'm not. You're going to stop. Oh no, meet us in the land of Ono. No, I'm not going to Ono, devil. I'm going to, oh yes. Oh yes, I can. Oh yes, we will. Oh yes, we will take the rapture. Don't you love those little cliches I can't, God's word? So now they change their tactics. You know, we've been wrong about you. You're a pretty good guy after all. Come and meet with us and let's talk about this. Let's see if there's some way we can work this out. You know, when we say that you're a man that's got great understanding and you love the people, and that can't be questioned. We believe you're wrong. Just come out and meet with us and oh no. Now watch verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them saying, glory to God. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Now when I get down as your pastor and I get weary and all overworked and stressed, not long ago I pulled out of this parking lot right up here where I park. Before I hit the pavement, I told my wife, I believe that was about the biggest mess I ever made in my life as a preacher. Before I got home, I got texts and emails and phone calls telling me what a blessing that was. So I said, it goes to show what I know about. But my dear little wife will tell me this scripture right here. She's used it more than any other scripture probably since we've been in the ministry together. You're up on the wall, you're doing a good work, and you ain't coming down. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something, friend. This is not just applicable to a preacher. You housewives, let it be applicable to you. I am a mother. I am a daughter of God. I am teaching my children. I'm being the right kind of wife to my husband. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm up on the wall. I'm doing a good work. I'm not coming down. It is applicable to you deacons. It is applicable to you men. I'm up on a wall. I'm not coming down. Oh no, devil. This is your alternative to oh no. I'm doing a good work. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Take that same principle and apply it whenever people run you down, talk about you and do all those sort of things. You know what the devil's trying to do? Get you to come down from the holy place God puts you and put you on the same dirt level they're on. The same trash level they're on. So you get on Facebook and trash them or walk up to them. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Then you left the wall and you come down to their level. Let me close. Yet they sent unto me 4 death messengers. I mean, 4 times. Caterpillar, canker. 4 stages of the same worm, he said. They sent unto me 4 times after this sort. And I answer them after the same manner. Oh no, I ain't going to oh no. Oh yes, I'm doing a great work. Oh yes, I'm going to continue it. I don't have time to get sidetracked by you. Amen. Praise God. So what is your answer as we close? Oh no? Or oh yes? Oh yes, okay, well I'll meet you an oh no. You better not. It'll be an oh no. Don't give the devil the time of day. Look, if your weatherman lied to you the way the devil did, if I lied to you 100th of the way the devil lies to you, you'd have got rid of me 25 years ago, and you should have. He lies to you every day of your life. He lies to your mind. He lies to your intellect. He lies to your emotions. Why do we even pay attention to this liar? But Nehemiah said, no. And he sent messengers back to him. Said, I am not coming down. You imagine as a man, Brother Terry, this crossed his mind. Wonder if I should. Wow, it seems like they want to make peace. You can't make peace with a liar. I got to read this other verse. Nehemiah 6:10. Afterward, I came into the house of Shimei, the son of Delei, the son of Metabeel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Now, that didn't work in Ono. So you know what they do? They hire a false Jewish prophet. And then this old boy approaches it from a different way. I tell you what, let's go to church together. Let's go to the same church, same message. Let's go to the house of God. Notice he's not trying to get them to Ono, but it's still Ono if you understand. Let's meet together in the house of God, but then the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay the yea in the night. Now watch him, he's trying to scare him. This is the word of the Lord. I am a prophet of Israel. You better meet with me. They're going to come to kill you. I've got a word from the Lord. I'll tell you, friends, this would have been tough. Yes, sir. Amen. What would you have done? If somebody rose up, ooh, I feel it all over me. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This. Measure ever thus saith the Lord by the word. If it don't come to pass, it's a lie. Amen. I don't care how many feelings you have, how many visions you got. If they don't line up with the word, they're a lie. They're from hell. You better repent and get that evil spirit off of you. Ooh. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. It's one thing to withstand Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians, but now you're going to withstand a so-called message prophet? To tell you to quit doing what you're called to do? Wake up, Happy Valley! And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. You'd be surprised at the preachers that's had dreams over the years that I'm supposed to leave Happy Valley and they're supposed to be the pastor. Oh, I've had several over the years. Dreams, visions, all kinds of thus says the Lord, that I'm supposed to go here and go there and go somewhere else and they're supposed to be the pastor. The main problem I have with that is God didn't tell me about it. I don't understand that. God was the one who told me to come here. And God's going to tell some other man for me to leave? Me and him still on speaking terms. Oh yeah, I had one sat in my office several years ago. And he went through this big, long, spilled out dream. And boy, it was the Lord. There ain't no question about it. It was a dream. Sounded like a pinto bean dream to me. But anyway, he thought it was a dream from the Lord. And I'm supposed to go on the field and be full time. And I'm supposed to turn the church over to him. I said, well, brother, I really appreciate all that. But I said, God ain't told me nothing about it. You know who a lot of these guys are? False prophets. Just like this man right here. False prophets. Now what's this? This is a different stage of the battle. I'll call it sure enough. Lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, for that he pronounced this prophecy. Not false doctrine. Not an Ammonite. Not an Arabian. But a man of your own ranks that's got a false prophecy against your position. The devil still does the same thing. Pronounce this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Can you imagine a man being for hire? Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so in sin. Now he never mentioned this about the Raban, Sanballat, Tobiah. Now this is getting closer to home. What if God did speak to this person? What if God wants me to go on the field? What if God wants this man to take to church? And what if I'm supposed to do this and that and the other? But I believe the same God that let Nehemiah perceive is the same God that can let Donnie perceive. or Lance or Terry or Rob or, you know, Jim or Wes or whoever you are. Let me tell you, Happy Valley, when I'll leave this church, okay? So there's no question in anybody's mind. Since there's somebody here who's wanting my position, I leave when the same God who called me here tells me to leave, or He takes the breath from my body. And when I do, there's already an appointed successor which will take this position, and then afterwards the church will vote on him whether or not he wants to be the pastor or they want him to be the pastor. And that's Brother Darrell Ward. Just so you're wondering. I don't care how many visions you bring to me. You can talk in tongues from here back to heaven and hell three times. If God's got something to say to me, He can tell me. Oh, some of you got quiet on me, didn't you? May God think thou, my God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess. So he didn't even try, but just a man prophet. They even hired a woman preacher. A woman prophetess. Noadiah. And the rest of the prophets. You think the devil wasn't after that man's position? He used one prophet, then he used a woman prophetess, then they went out and hired a bunch of other prophets. Why? To get rid of this one man. That tells you the value of his work before God. Notice this, he said, that would have put me in fear. But how many knows the end of the story of Nehemiah? They finished the wall, the temple, the kingdom was set back up. Why? Because one man was determined to follow what God had called him to do. He refused to listen to Arabians. He refused to listen to Sanballat, Tobiah, and people of his own church. Or people of his own move that says, supposedly had, thus saith the Lord. How could God tell him of thus saith the Lord? Exact opposite of what he told Nehemiah in the first place. God don't lie. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't you love Him? Oh my, how many wants to build your wall? Now get in your mind that we have a wall around the message, a wall around the church as it was. You have a wall around your family. You have a wall around your life as an individual. Where are you today? Where are you as far as our move, our church, our families? Are there breaches in our walls? Have our walls been rebuilt? Or is there a hole here and one there and one here and somewhere else? Don't give up. No matter what Satan does, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Do like Nehemiah. Pray. Watch. Lay bread. Cut off devil's heads. Well, if you have to, mix blood and mortar at the same time, man. Just do what you got to do. Just do what you got to do. Now, let me reiterate this to you. This is not just for preachers. This is for you sisters. This is for you teenagers. This is for all of us. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Little foxes. Oh my. How many of you today like to be remembered before the Lord? Maybe you've got a good wall, good strong wall, no breaches, no holes. By God's grace, you want to keep it that way. Maybe some of you's got some breaches. Some blocks in your wall are missing. Some of you's got great big sections, maybe your wall that's missing. Wherever you are, be encouraged, my brother, sister, to know the Lord Jesus loves you. When the devil makes all of his approaches, you just say, oh no. Oh no, devil. I ain't giving up. God, by His grace, is doing a good work in me. I'm not perfect. I'm far from flawless. But God is doing a work in me, and God will complete it. You'd like to be remembered today before the Lord. You got your head bowed, but both of my arms are raised up with you.
Let's pray for each other, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll take these simple thoughts today, Lord, and help us. May each of us, according to our needs at this particular time, be able to take this and apply it to our lives. For some, it might be that the wall of health has been breached in their life. An old blood pressure devil, an old heart trouble devil has breached through the body. A nervousness, a depression, whatever it is, Father, cancer. It's tried to get through a breach, maybe a weak cell, a weakness inherited from the parents. That devil's climbed in that breach. He's trying to go all around the perimeter of that wall, defile that body. Lord, maybe it's something in their life, a besetting sin. Maybe it's on the job, in their home. Whatever it is, Lord, may you search each of our hearts. Begin with me, Lord. I don't want to stand up here today and say I'm faultless. I am not. I don't want to stand here today and act as if though I'm perfect because I am not. I'm a human being. I'm flawed. All of us are. But God, I'm not flawed so deeply that I cannot see my shortcomings. To me, the deepest flawed mortal is one who cannot see their flaws. They see everybody else's. They see everybody else's being the problem. Everybody else's being the reason why they can't grow, why they can't do this. Always blaming other people. But they can never see the deepest flaw that lays within themselves of not being able to acknowledge their own needs. God, help us today. I pray for individuals. I pray for families. I pray for our church family that should help us, Lord. There's no way for us to know what lays before us in the future. We know Satan hates this truth. It's not so much us as individuals. We're not threats as far as individuals are concerned. When we're baptized into your body, it's a different story. But Lord, I pray you would help each of us. May we be able to stand, Lord. May we not become so involved in Sanballat and Tobiah and the charges of the Arabians that we come down from the wall and leave our good work and spend our time trying to justify why we do this and argue and debate. Help people to realize when they go to sending emails back and forth and back and forth and texts and Facebook to people that want to argue, you're never going to win with an arguer. We come down off the wall. We lay aside our tape listening and our praying to try to win over a debater. We're wasting our time. Oh, it took me many years to try to get beyond that, Lord, out of a desire to try to help people. Satan under the auspices trying to convince me I could help him when in reality all he was doing was laying a trap for me in the valley of Ono. But after enough times of it, I begin to realize there's no need. If they want truth, they'll come with an open, sincere heart. Questions are one thing. Questions from the heart of a liar, you'll never satisfy. Judas sat at the table that day and had a question of why that frankincense and myrrh was not sold and given to the poor. His question was not out of sincerity, but John said, because he was a thief. So his question generated from the heart of a thief, not out of a sincere person longing for truth. We can answer questions, oh my goodness, day in and day out, and all of our time is gone. Lord, give us leadership, I pray. We love you today, Father. Would you turn and lay your hand on that person standing by you? Husbands, if you're standing by your wife, maybe parents, but children, brothers, sisters, whatever more. Amen. Let's just offer a word of prayer for each other. Amen. Pray for strength, courage to that brother or sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, help us today. We call upon your name, faithful one. Hallelujah. We bring our needs, our desires, our petitions, our work. Lord, some may feel their work is so small. All they do is just pray a little bit for the preacher and read the Bible and try to live a good life. Yet, God, they may be some of the very ones that are helping pack such a load. Help us, Lord, not to look at this man or that woman and say, well, I don't do what they do, and
I'm not important and nobody knows my name. Help us to get away from that nonsense of vanity, Father. And say, God, what can I do? What do you want me to do, Lord? Help me to find my spot in the wall. Lord, if it's packed mud, if it's moved blocks, whatever it is, help me to do my part of it, Lord. Help me to be faithful. Help me, Lord, not to come down when the enemy will petition me. Lord, when he sends the Arabians, when he sends Tobiah or Sanballat. But oh God, if he would send one that would sound like a prophet. If he would send one that claimed to be a prophet. How many of us would have discernment enough by the Holy Ghost to say that's not true. That is not the word of the Lord. How many would succumb to it, Lord, because one would stand up and say he was a prophet or the son of a prophet. Oh God, help us, I pray. Give us discernment, Lord. Give us discernment that we'll know, Heavenly Father, it'll be so close in the last days it would deceive the elected if it were possible. Praise God. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. We magnify your name, oh God. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. Oh, living, resurrected Christ, manifest yourself among us, Lord. Keep us from the Arabians. Keep us from the false prophets that would raise among us. Keep us, blessed God, till we can finish the wall, till the building of God can be a completed house of the tabernacle. That is true, perfect worship. God in a man. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit can cap off this age. Lord, he will cap off this age, the finalization of this age, as he caps off the individual when they are filled with the Holy Ghost, the baptism, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then, Lord God, the age will receive her capping off by the coming of the Lord Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, and the changing of our bodies. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This great building will not be set upon the earth, oh Heavenly Father, but the rapture will take the house of God into heavenly places. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you today, Lord God. We bless your name. We magnify you, Lord. We're up on a wall, Father. And we say it this way, out of recognition to what you are doing. We are doing a good work, a great work. It is not our work. It is not us doing it. It is our God in us doing our God's work. That's why we can call it a great work. Anything we would do is feeble. Anything we would do is frail. Anything we would do would fall apart. But our God lives in us, and our God anoints us to do his work. So it is a great work. It is a work that will never fail, a work that will never falter, a work that will go completely to the end and consummate it in such a way it will raise the dead. It will bring millions out of the dust of the earth. Praise God. The headstone setting down on this age will cap it off with such resurrection power that the dead will raise among us and walk into our homes, into our churches. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we're not building Nehemiah's wall. We're not rebuilding the second temple, but it is the temple of the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you today, Father. We bless your name, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands and worship him a little? Hey, sing something for us, whatever's on your heart. Amen. Come on, Judah. It's good that you're Dan. It's good that you're Asher, Naphtali, all of that. But don't leave Judah out of your life. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We bless your name today, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We can worship you with or without an organ, with or without drums, with or without a guitar, because we have Judah. Amen. That praise band living on the inside. That praise tribe, oh God. Amen. Something that raises in up to give you adoration and love, oh Father. We bless your name today, Lord. We worship you, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of your kingdom there is no end. Praise God.
Soon the bride will begin to beckon you, O blessed one. She will have come to her place of maturity, and she will begin to assert that place which you have given to her, and she will call for you and her to go into the country. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. The first time in the Song of Solomon that she has searched such a place that she begins to call him that she may express the deepest desire she has, and he toward her, she calls for the millennium. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, let us go into the country. Let us go. Oh, hallelujah. John was under that anointing when he said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Sing something. Hey, let's worship him, saints, can we? Can we take just a few more minutes of your Sunday evening before you go to be able to worship the Lord? Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you together, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God. Lord Jesus.
Longing just to
hallelujah.
Something that's a word that will bless your
heart. Hallelujah.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song is not what you have required.
Amen.
You search much deeper within. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Next verse.
King of endless world.
No one could express
how much you deserve.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Though I'm weak and poor,
all I have is yours.
Every single breath.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. You remember when they rededicated this temple? There were some of the elders that had lived to see the other temple, and they looked around and they wept and they cried and they lamented, because they said the glory of this temple is not even to be compared to the others. Nehemiah and the elders come among them and they said, stop it. Stop it. This is not a day of mourning. It is a day of rejoicing. You may look at this Omega bride and say, my goodness, she's not doing what Peter done. She's not sure we're doing the same thing. We're just not doing it where it's publicized. Amen. You'd be surprised if you knew how many folks have been healed of cancer standing right here at this altar. How many people have been healed of bleeding ulcers and the Spirit of God come and instantaneously touch their bodies. But it looks different than what it did in the book of Acts. Oh, listen to me, friend. It's the same power of God among a people that believe the Lord. Don't make it a day of weeping, a day of mourning. This is a great hour. It is the time of the rapture. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. I love you. You'll be hearing a good preacher Wednesday night. Brother Joel Forney will be here. Lord willing, the meeting at Brother Fred's will be next week. I know somebody's got plans to be down there. Brother Andrew will be speaking. Brother Jason Watkins, and then some old guy will be preaching. So those of you that want to come. Then a week after that, Carol and I get home probably Monday, and then leave Tuesday for the meetings over at Ruth. Brother Wayne will be preaching Tuesday night. I'll be preaching Wednesday night, Brother Spencer Thursday night. I'll be preaching Friday night. For some reason or the other, the oldest guy is getting all the workload. So. Pray for the meetings coming up, that the Lord would just be with us and help us. Oh, Brother Don, you're going to do good work. I know I am. But let me turn around on you. You're fulfilling God's word in your life. You also are doing a good work. A life lived by the word is the word expressed. Don't you walk out of here today feeling like, I don't do nothing for God. You pray, you read your Bible, you do everything you can do. You're doing a great work for the kingdom of God. And don't come down off that mountain, housewife. Don't you come down off that wall. You stay right there, brother. Oh, I'm just, all I do is push levers on a bulldozer. That's all right. Push them in the name of Jesus. Operate as a good businessman. Well, I paint and I do this and that. Other. Do it for the kingdom of God. And don't come off the devil. And the devil will come down. Boy, they'll come here and say, devil, have you forgot what Brother Donnie preached? That one word will change my life. Oh, no. Oh, no, devil. I know some of you, that's all you're going to remember, this sermon. That's all right. It'll change you forever if that's all you remember. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Turn and shake hands with somebody and say, God bless you, Brother Donnie's going to let us go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you, saints. I love you with all my heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. Harry, sing something. Let's go. Go on. Go eat. I love you.
King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within.